He's been playing out of his mind. He's one of the guys that's been playing out of his mind. Kane is playing out of his mind. Wait till you see Kane and Panarin together. Anisimov doesn't get enough heavy credit for all the different lifting he does around the league, defensively, face-off, penalty kill, forecheck. But Panarin and Kane are just music to your ears. When you listen to the game being played, it's just at another level.
Turning is Anisimov. He stepped around Yemlin with relative ease. Passes to Kane, shoots and scores. Patrick Kane goes blocker side, and Anisimov with a pass. And the Hawks are on the board first. It's 1-0. And Schmaltz will grab that now. Alone in front, Panarin scores. A nice pass from Nick Schmaltz, and Panarin right in front. He's got a terrific set of hands, and he roofed it, and it's 3-0.
Well, again, it's the pairing of Yemelin and Petrie. I mean, they both go to the same guy.
La deuxième étoile de second star, Artemi Panarin. Et la première étoile de first star, Patrick Kane.
Oh, quite a cheer goes up for number 88, who acknowledges the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, tonight you get a couple chances. Sometimes you think you could, make some things happen. Nothing develops, and then some other plays come out of nowhere where you end up getting a couple points. So it's weird how the game works, but I think you just stress on trying to play the right way every shift. Make sure you're making good plays out there, and let the rest take care of itself.
Oh, yeah, and their goalie was pretty good again. Welcome back. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Amanda Stein in for Mitch Gallo. Dave Trentadue is in for Rod Francis. We head to Florida.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub. With 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, Mitch. How are you?
Oh. Are you on the golf course? You near the water? I hear some wind.
Oh, I'm on a golf course, but there shouldn't be any wind. I'm covering up for you.
You're not allowed to be doing this on a golf course?
Well, no, I'm in the woods.
Oh, yeah, looking for your golf ball.
I was going to say,
huh?
Hopefully not where your ball is.
No, doing my Montreal hit. Sneak off. I've been doing for 18 years.
You got to sneak off into the woods to do this, huh?
Yep. Anybody that plays with me knows 5:05 is sacred time.
Yeah, that's like prime time on the golf course, isn't it? Right in front of
it
the
is.
19th hole?
Oh, no. Like I told you, no 19th hole action. Not for 40 days.
It's Lent.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
No, you hadn't told me that.
Oh, I thought I had. I'm
no.
sorry.
Yeah. You, really?
Yeah.
When did you start doing this?
I've always done something. 1 year's beer, 1 year's wine, 1 year's pizza, 1 year's bread and butter, 1 year's steak. This year I said I'm going to full Monty.
Wow. Whoa.
All of those things? Because that sounds terrible.
It's all good.
Yeah. What about pasta?
Oh, yeah. Pasta's good. Yeah. I've done that before where I haven't had any, but yeah. I'm having pasta now.
Yeah, Pierre's on a break, not just right now as we speak, but he's on a break for the week with young Ryan, who's on March break. So as advertised, it was great to see the Stars come out. The Canadians really played a strong hockey game, except for number 74, who was just brutal again, Pierre. And I don't know which one you want to tackle first, the beauty of the Hawks or the ugliness of Alexei Yemelin's game right now.
Well, we're on in Montreal right now, so the biggest thing you have to wonder is when does he come out and when does Nathan Beaulieu go in? That's number one. Number two, you could see the frustration of Jeff Petrie, especially after to start the third period in the play by Schmaltz. But what's Yemelin doing? What's he doing on that read? I mean, that's just a terrible read. Now, to be fair, Montreal did have a lot of shots, but I didn't think they dictated the quality chances. I thought Chicago had most of the quality chances through 40 minutes. But Alexei Yemelin is somebody that clearly has to be better. And if he can't be better, they've got an issue with their roster in terms of depth and defense for a long playoff run. They just won't have enough.
So what do you think they do? They've got 2 full days. They're off today completely. They got 2 full days of practice prior to the back-to-back against the Ottawa Senators, who are 1 point behind. And they got a game coming up against Chicago tomorrow night. What do you think they ought to do here?
Well, first of all, I'd like to know, and I'm not there, so I don't know, but I don't know. Is Alexei Yemelin completely healthy? I mean, that's a question that needs to be asked, because he doesn't seem like the same player. And help takes on many different forms. It can be physical help. It can be mental help. It can be a lot of different things. It can be problems away from the rink. It can be whatever. I don't know. It's sheer speculation. But he doesn't look right. He doesn't look like the same guy on the ice. He really doesn't. So unless you're there all the time, it's hard to say what they should do. But clearly they can't keep going down his path and saying, you're next guy up. Because he's just not good enough right now.
Yeah, he's minus six in their last two losses. And
yeah, no, he's not good enough.
And
no.
It's just sometimes you're a victim of circumstance, but man, he is like, he can't hide. There is not a big enough hole for him to crawl into right now because that they could have ended up winning that hockey game. But those mistakes all turned into goals.
They did. What's amazing, we talked about all the leaders and the winners on that team, talking about Chicago. Look at the game insurance goal. Look at the fourth goal. Keith and the play that he makes, Kane and the play that he makes, and then Taves and the play that he makes on the backhand, not missing. I mean, that's how you win. You have guys that do that consistently, and that's the one thing that I can tell you in Chicago. They're professional winners for a reason. Their upper echelon players elevate day in and day out. They really do. Now, this is far from Alexi Emlin, who's not one of the stars of the Canadiens, but he is an important part of that team. Because of what he's a robust style player, and you have to have that in the playoffs. They don't have a lot of those guys outside of Shea Weber. They don't have a lot of those guys.
Amanda?
Alexi Emelin was actually took a therapy day right before they headed out on this most recent trip. So I don't know what that means in terms of his health, but I just looked it up to get some sort of indication, and it was March 3rd. He did not participate in practice, and they announced because of a therapy day generally.
So, and the other guys, it should be pointed out, who took therapy days
was Radulov and Plekanec, and both of those were injured.
And was Weber?
Weber was also, yes.
Yeah, I happen to believe that Weber's been banged up for a good chunk of the year, although he was tremendous last night.
He was.
Oh, he was really good last night. I mean, as much as everybody's upset about probably losing the game, there were some players there that played really well for Montreal, and I thought Shea was one of them. I thought Shea was outstanding for the Canadiens last night. There wasn't much Carey could do on the slap shot from the point. Yemlin was screening. There wasn't much. I think it just surprised him. There was nothing he could do. But there, I think the biggest way to surmise it is, if you're really looking at the tail of the tape, how good are the Canadiens compared to the elite teams in the league? Just be fair about it. And
well,
where are they?
Well, they have a first line if they keep it together. And for the first time this season, Alex Galchenyuk got 20 minutes of ice time. Radulov is still working his way back after the injury. These 2 days are really going to help him. If that line stays together, there's no doubt they could score as often as almost any trio in the league. There's no doubt in my mind. But beyond that, it is a large sinkhole down the middle.
Which is not surprising to you or to me or to anybody that's been listening to this show for a long time. But that's what I'm talking about. You're not going to win as a one-line team, and you're not going to win with only one center in the playoffs. It's not going to happen. And if I'll use Pittsburgh as an example. Everybody was shocked and bewildered how Pittsburgh won the Stanley Cup last year. They won because of Crosby, Malkin, Bonino, and Cullen. 1-2-3-4 down the middle. So they were able to play a four-line attack-oriented kind of game. They wore their opponents out, and players like Brian Rust and Connor Sheary, who nobody knew, were able to generate tons and tons of offense because center ice play was so dominant. That's the problem for Montreal. And again, Mark knows this. That's why he did what he did at the trade deadline. He absolutely is aware of this. So he's trying to find a way to be as competitive as possible. I just don't see how it's going to be able to generate a long run. I just don't.
Yeah. And of course, Plekanec, you think, okay, maybe this time off will help him down the stretch because in previous years he kind of runs out of gas. But there has been no sign all year of him catching any kind of spark offensively, where Philip Deneau did, but he is now pushing 30 games with one goal. I mean, he's finding out what it's like to play a full NHL season down the middle here.
And Philip, and I remember telling you this when Montreal got him, he's going to be Montreal's Marcus Kruger. He's going to be Montreal's Nick Bonino. He's going to play behind the first two guys. When Montreal has a really good team, Philip Deneau is going to be an elite. Not a good, he's going to be an elite three. And that's when you know you have a chance to win. But that's where he fits. And don't, you know, again, people are going to dream and have pie in the sky, but that's the reality. That's how scouts think. That's how general managers think. That's how coaches think. But this is the deck you've been dealt, so now you have to make the best of it.
So they just got to find goals as they have, as Paul Byron has rediscovered his touch. He's going to hit 20. And Gallagher's got to score, and Lakenin's got to score. Their wingers have to score here because it's not coming from the middle of the ice, and their defensemen.
That's correct, and the power play has to be efficient and effective. It doesn't mean it has to score all the time, but it has to generate momentum, and it has to put some duress on the opposition goalie in particular. So there are a lot of things that have to happen, but it can still be overcome, the lack of center ice play. I just don't know if it equates to a really long run. I think that's what makes it really difficult.
So, Pierre, if you're Claude Julien and now you have this complete day off and you know that finally you're going to have two complete days of practice in a row, which is a hot commodity these days in the NHL, what are you asking either your video team to put together today, or what are you asking of yourself to bring to your team when they show up for practice on Monday? Thursday, sorry.
Yeah, no, I got it. Don't worry. I wouldn't overreact to what happened last night. There were some really good things. There were some not so good things. We've already touched on the not so good things, especially in the defensive zone. But what I think most coaches would look at is how do we approach playing to the end to make ourselves more refined. So pick out the things over the last 10 games that need refinement. Probably power play, probably penalty kill, probably face-off play. Probably work on your cycle a little bit more to dominate in zone puck possession games, so you force the other team to defend rather than attack. So pick out certain elements of your game that you think need to be refined before you get into the playoffs, and just use the next, 14 or 15 games that they have.
12.
Use those next 12 games to be ready for the playoffs.
Bob McKenzie this morning and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt.
I think he was looking to do that coming towards the trade deadline, but it's difficult in season to make those moves. And so, you know, he went for the quantity over quality impact in terms of the number of moves and the level of the lineup where they impact, which was more at the bottom end of the lineup, both on the blue line and up front. But, you know, sometimes that's all you can do. Outside of being forced into making a bad deal.
All right, so as a postscript to what Pierre has said repeatedly, and one of those guys that he got is a two-time Stanley Cup winner in Dwight King. Pierre, I pointed out that he seemed shocked that he was traded. Yeah. He said he didn't know anybody, so I can appreciate and understand that he doesn't look good right now. Is somebody like him, does it kick in once the playoffs start?
Oh, I think so. I think also guys are going to find a way to make him feel more appreciated, more appreciating of being a Montreal Canadian. I think you'll find as time goes along, especially a guy like Shea Weber, who's won and is revered around the league, I think he can have a huge impact in a situation like that. So again, I know everybody's kind of in panic mode.
No, nobody's in panic mode.
I wouldn't be in panic mode. What I would do more than anything else is I evaluate this. I'd say, okay, here's where we are. And what can Dwight do that can be better? And what he can do to be better in particular is help him penalty kill and be a very good tenacious forechecker and stabilize physical games. And if he can do that, that's going to be really good for Montreal.
I don't know if this is making a bit of a jump, and please tell me if I'm wrong, but in terms of Dwight King, I remember when he first arrived and we were talking to him, he didn't come with his family, obviously, because it was such a quick transition. But knowing now that they're coming into a stretch where they have a long home stretch, I think they have something like 6 games in a row at home, he said that his family will come here to Montreal at that time. That, I can imagine, would also help him.
Oh, there's no question that's going to help him. That's a really good point. You know, just to put it in perspective for everybody, I'll never forget when Jerome Iginla was traded from Calgary, and a lot of people thought he was going to end up in Boston, but remember, they backed out of the trade at the last second because of some different situations. Pittsburgh eventually got him. Jerome had never been traded. I mean, traded, yes, because he'd been drafted by Dallas, but it was a totally different situation. But to put it in perspective, Jerome didn't know how to react. I can tell you, I was there, and it was really, really hard on Jerome. Really hard on Jerome in terms of where it was going. So give Dwight King a little bit of time, because I do think eventually it's going to work out.
Now Radulov, one of the Hawks, is hurt. Pass back to Weber. He'll fire it. Stop at Crawford. A loose puck, and the period ends as one of the Blackhawks is at Anisimov in the corner. Tough to see his number. But yeah, he is writhing in pain down in the right corner.
Day to day, lower body. It's not serious kind, so we'll see how he does over the next a few days.
All right, there's Joel Quenneville after the game. Not serious, not as serious as it first looked. That looked like it could have been a season-ending knee injury, but they actually announced today that it is more than day-to-day.
It is. It's 3 to 4 weeks without Artem Anisimov.
Yeah, I wouldn't, again, if I'm a Hawks fan, I wouldn't panic about that. They're pretty much stable where they are in the standings. Obviously, they'd like to catch Minnesota and pass them and stay there. But he'll be ready to go in the playoffs, and that's the most important thing. I didn't think anything untoward was done. I mean, it's just one of those things that happens in hockey. It's a contact sport, but I didn't think Radulov did anything dirty or anything. It was just a bad luck play.
And one of the two younger players we discussed yesterday, Nick Schmaltz, moved in there seamlessly, and they've done that a few times with Schmaltz this season.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, not knowing that Anisimov was going to get hurt, but Nick is really found his way there. You can see that. And again, at the end of the game, you see what Joel Quenneville does. He puts Schmaltz on for a huge faceoff. So they're comfortable with him. Hartman, I hope, stood up to what I had told you about him. I mean,
oh,
Hartman,
man, he's
a player.
getting in the way of a Shea Weber slap shot while killing a penalty. Yeah, that's impressive.
Well, you see the Mike Keane comparison? I mean, now he doesn't fight like Mike. He doesn't, but he plays a lot like Mike. There's a lot of similarities there, and those are very, very valuable guys come playoff time.
Oodles of open room. The pass, though, is read by Hedman. He steals with under a minute to go in overtime. It's Palat. Cuts it. Feeds it across. They score! Victor Hedman jamming it in. The Lightning win it 2-1 in overtime.
He'll be winning a Norris Trophy before too long. And so the Tampa Bay Lightning win again. That's 4 in a row. They're in the playoffs as we speak. Braden Point scored again. And Ottawa, everybody knows the story with Ottawa right now, waiting for the Canadiens after they play Chicago.
Well, in that game, and I was watching it, the biggest thing that stood out is Ottawa tried to trade chances. That's not going to happen anymore when they play run-and-gun teams. You're going to see them clamp it right down. They can't do that. Condon got him a point. Mike Condon was phenomenal in that game. So they're lucky they had Condon in goal last night. But watching Tampa, I really appreciate what Johnny Cooper's trying to do with that group. You see how good Braden Point is right now, and the potential for him is limitless if he continues to get stronger and bigger. Tampa's good. Ottawa's going to be fine. I'm not worried about Ottawa. Ottawa's going to be fine. But you talked about Hedman winning the Norris. There's no question in my mind. At some point, he should be a guy that's got a chance to win a Norris.
Finishing up with Pierre Maguire in the woods somewhere in Florida on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Former Expo right-hander David Palmer coming to town for Expo Fest and the Tim Raines tribute will be joining us in about 10 minutes. So the other one that I wanted to talk about, obviously, was Minnesota and Washington. Everybody seems to be worried about Alexander Ovechkin. The fact that he scored this longest drought of his career, 10 games, which means a bunch of goals are probably going to follow and he'll be fine. Or do you see anything to be a little concerned about in his play that would lead you to think that something is missing?
There was one power play in the second period where he was so frustrated because Minnesota was taking him away as an option that he just basically held his hands down by his hips and almost didn't want the puck, almost didn't want to be out there. And eventually they found a way to get him the puck, and he scored a goal on Devin Dubnyk. That probably should have been stopped, by the way. But no, I don't see it being an issue. This season, the one thing I can tell you this year in particular, Mitch, is that the compressed schedules made it just so hard for teams to stay on roles. I know we've had a few that have had unbelievably long roles, but it's been hard for everybody this year. It really has been. And I'm not making excuses for Ovechkin, but I think he'll be just fine. I really think that the Capitals will be just fine.
And well, you mentioned Dubnyk. Is this a case of it catching up to him this late in the season, all of these games? Because his last five games have not been good.
No, and I think that's part of it. I think the fatigue factor's kicked in for him. And I think at some point, Bruce Boudreau is going to have to make a decision on him, along with Bob Mason, the goalie coach there, whether to just give him a little rest and let him get ready for what should be a pretty long run for Minnesota. I mean, obviously, they've got to try to get through Chicago, if in fact they play Chicago after the first round. But I would imagine that they should be in for a pretty long run.
You can get back on the fairway now. Thanks an awful lot.
I'm just looking for extra balls here. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you very much. Bye.